listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, November the 14th, in the year of our Lord 2018, and it's Bible study day. I believe this is the 11th Bible study that we have been doing on Wednesdays. Congregations are meeting and having a Bible study with us at 9:30. When I get off the air at 10, they have another half hour to make it an hour where they talk about it. And so we're going to be taking a look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Before I begin, I just want to make a note. I got an email indicating that there are some congregations that are unable to meet Wednesdays at 9:30. Well, don't worry about it, because within a day or two, this broadcast is put into archives. And so let's say you decide to have a Bible study on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Well, you can go to the archive and get the whole program at that time. So it's not necessary that you have to be there at 9:30, but if you want to do the lesson for that particular week, it takes about a day for that to get up, for sure, on the internet under archives. Proverbs 15. I'm going to be saying something about Proverbs that you may not have realized before. A lot of people, when they talk about Proverbs, they talk about it as a way of how we are to act, how we are to behave. There's three uses of the law. The first use is the governmental use, where it uses the law to bridle wickedness, punish evildoers, and reward the good. Has nothing to do with the church at all, except in those areas where morality is involved. The second use of the law is where God uses the law to point out what is going wrong in our lives as to why we need a Savior. It's a use of accusation. The third use of the law is for Christians who simply want to know, okay, what is the will of God in this particular situation? Because we have a lot of questions, and sometimes you go and ask a pastor about it. Now, a lot of people imagine that Proverbs is kind of the third use of the law, where God is telling us, you know, how to behave. Now, I'm not saying that that is in error, but I think they've missed, particularly in chapters like chapter 15, where we're looking at Solomon's words, they're missing the real point of what God is doing there. And the way I understand it, we're going to be using that new concept that we've been talking about the last few weeks between the vertical person and the horizontal person. The vertical individual is one who has a vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. He trusts the promises of Jesus Christ. The horizontal individual is someone who gets all of his plaudits and applause and appreciation from making good horizontal relationships with people in the world. Many of the horizontals don't believe in God, and therefore the way that they overcome their fear of death is to get a good reputation so people will look up to them. I believe, particularly taking a look at a chapter like 15 in Proverbs, that this is really the best way to understand it, is the distinction between how God sees the vertical versus the horizontal. Every verse in chapter 15 is from God's point of view. For example, let's take a look at the first one. Chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, I believe that a soft answer is one that is done by a vertical Christian, someone who trusts in Jesus. And so, what does a soft answer mean? Well, somebody accuses you of something that you know is not true, and they're angry at you, well, you can come back at them and call them names or do what a lot of politicians do, attack their humanity, not dealing with the issue at all. Or you can say, well, let me explain what I had done, because it really wasn't what you think it was. And then you explain it. That's a soft answer back to the person. Or you can say, you know, you're right. What I did was wrong, and I apologize and ask for your forgiveness. That will turn away wrath. But a harsh word just stirs up more anger. That just makes sense, doesn't it? And the horizontal, why is he doing a harsh word? Because he cannot stand being attacked. He has to protect his righteousness. He is afraid of people looking down upon him. And so he tries to get even, tries to take revenge. Now, I'll tell you why I don't believe a verse like this and the rest of the verses are told to us by God in order that we would change our behavior and act this way. Because, well, some people want to have a good relationship with others. And so they decide, okay, I know this person is mad at me. Now, I don't believe in God, but I do want to have them be my friend. So I'll give them a soft answer back. See, I don't think that's what Proverbs is about at all. Telling you how to act in a way in order to keep your relationship. No, this is God examining what happens in the world and saying, this comes from a vertical person, this comes from a horizontal person. Now, I'm not saying that the vertical Christian always does what is commanded here, namely giving the soft answer, because we have an old Adam. And our old Adam is sinful nature. So sometimes we act like a horizontal person without regard to God. And we want to give a angry response to somebody who is attacking us. The point I'm trying to make is a very simple one. Don't read the book of Proverbs as a way of doing ethics so that you keep a good reputation. The book of Proverbs, this particular chapter, in fact, and others around it, this is the way that God regards individuals who are vertical versus those who are only horizontal. And every verse does this. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. You see, the tongue of the wise, and that refers to the believer in Jesus Christ, commends knowledge. So somebody comes up to you and says, you know, this is something you need to know. You will appreciate it because they're not your enemy, and maybe the knowledge is going to be helpful to you, and you will commend it because you don't have to become self-righteous in their eyes. But the mouths of fools will pour out folly. I mean, how many times has somebody said to you, you know, you were mistaken, this is really the way it is, and you say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're nothing but a fool. And see, this is not the way of the vertical Christian. Jesus, there were many a time when he could have brought disaster down upon the people. But what were his words from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a tongue of wisdom commending knowledge. Verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Now, what's the evil? That would refer to the horizontal lives that are going on, and the good refers to the vertical lives. The best chapter to look at that would be, of course, Matthew 25, at least one of many chapters, where it talks about the sheep who were doing good, and the good they were doing were fruits of the Holy Spirit, of which they were unaware. Remember? I don't remember doing those things. And God is keeping watch over both the evil and the good. Why does he keep watch over the evil? So that it will not affect the vertical Christian beyond what you are able to endure. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation comes to you except that which God permits, and he will often provide a way of escape. Verse 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Okay, there's a good example. The vertical has a gentle tongue. And in, for example, and there's so many examples you can give with each verse. I'm just choosing one. Somebody does something wrong to you and you go to them and say you were hurt by it, but you forgive them. Why do you forgive me? Because Jesus has forgiven me. And in that way, your words become a tree of life. Remember, that's referring back to the Garden of Eden, that tree of life that if they had eaten of it, they would live forever. That's why they were removed from the Garden of Eden, specifically so that as a sinful person, they wouldn't eat of the tree in life and therefore reside in their sin for eternity. No, by removing them and putting them in a situation where they recognize their need for a Savior, they then trusted the promises of God. That was the tree of life. And therefore are saved. In contrast, the horizontal person, perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness in what? In the tongue. If you want to know how bad the tongue can be, read the book of James. Because in the book of James, the tongue is the most evil part of the body. Because you can say something by the tongue that even you will say, oh, I wish I never said that. For example, one of the worst statements you can make to a child who has disobeyed you is you look at them and say, I wish you had never been born. That child's not going to forget that statement. The tongue can be very, very wicked. And that only occurs because that person at that point just has a horizontal relationship. The next verse, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Now here, the first part is talking about the horizontal. A fool despises his father's instruction. A father may instruct a child, well, I understand you're hanging around with these guys and they have various drugs and such. Do not take any of these drugs, because if you do so, it can ruin your life. Well, the fool, the horizontal person, he wants to have a good relationship with these crazy people he's hanging around, and so he despises his father's instruction. Whereas the person who has a proper vertical relationship with Jesus Christ, he heeds reproof. What does that mean? He listens to reproof. He may find a different group of people, or when he is around those folks, does not participate in their evil works. See, this is the way God looks at individuals who are believers and unbelievers. We go on with verse 6. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. Now, what was that talking about? It's not talking about necessarily money. Because in the house of the righteous, what is a treasure that we have? All the blessings that God gives us. The main one, of course, Romans 8:28, nothing but good happens to those who love God. Now, at times it may take a little while for us to recognize what the good is. And sometimes we may never recognize it, but that's a promise from God. So we trust that there is much treasure in being part of the righteous, because God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be there when you call upon him in the day of trouble. But trouble befalls the income of the wicked. And the word income there, it could refer to money, because a lot of people do lose money who are wicked. But it can also refer to possessions, whatever you use to get income. I remember a very rich man. He was a billionaire, and his son died in a plane accident, and he would have given all his money to have his son back. His son had been part of his riches. He was not a believer, and trouble befalls the income of the wicked. See, what we're trying to do here, don't look at Proverbs, okay, this is the way I must act, so everything will be fine. No, this is the way that God regards the difference between a vertical Christian and a horizontal unbeliever, including our old Adam. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Now, the word fool here, especially in Proverbs, is the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom comes from none other than Jesus Christ himself. And the wisdom, remember Martin Luther in that statement of the 95 he put up on the wall, is the life of the Christian is one of repentance. And so the lips of the wise spread knowledge. That's what a sermon does. It first speaks the law. And when we speak the law, by the way, in a sermon, that's referring to the second use of the law. Every passage should be used in a sermon to show where we fail in meeting God's will or his demands or his commandments. And then the gospel comes, which is God's answer to our failure. It's not hard to understand law and gospel in a sermon. Second use and the gospel. Now, there's much more in a sermon because a lot of times you may talk about, well, this is how the Christian should act, but of course we don't act that way a lot of times. And so the lips of the wise pastor spreads knowledge. And a lot of times, knowing God means, in the Bible, having faith in his promises. But not so the hearts of fools. Look at the Pharisees at the time of Jesus. This is a heart of fool. Thanking God, he's not like other sinners. And the reason is because he does all these good works. Wow. Doesn't really matter what the Pharisees did. In fact, verse 8 underscores that. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Now, can you think of a passage where that's really clear? Well, it's in Luke, where Jesus is talking about the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisees were doing sacrifices, but they were doing it as a way of making sure that they were saved. Thank God I'm saved. I give a tithe. I fast. These are sacrifices I'm doing, and therefore they're assured of salvation. That's a wicked sacrifice, and it is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright, and who was the upright in that parable? It was none other than the publican. God be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And what did Jesus say? The Pharisee went away to hell. And the publican was regarded as righteous in the sight of the Lord. Next verse, 10. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. Now, that actually is good news. What? Yes, severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Can you imagine parents who never discipline their children? And they do that a lot of people make the point that discipline and the word disciple is close. But proper discipline, which sometimes can be severe for the one receiving it, is necessary for those who forsake the way in order to help them understand what is the way. But if you hate that reproof, if you ignore that discipline, and that's what the horizontals do, you will die. And that means die eternally. Now, we're looking at chapter 15 of Proverbs. There are 33 verses in chapter 15. We just finished the first 10. And so you can continue to look at the rest of these verses because they are God's understanding of the distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. And so in your study alone, you may want to take a look at them and explain, for example, how it's a distinction between the vertical, who has a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the horizontal that does not. Let's just maybe take a look at a couple here. Verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. What does that mean? Well, somebody may question you, may question the Bible. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. We think about, how are we going to answer this? Because remember, we want to do a soft answer because it turns away wrath. But the mouth of the wicked, well, he's just angry that you're trying to correct him, and he pours out evil things towards you. 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. This is really from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he points out that you not only sin when you do something wrong, but when you say something wrong, or when you think something wrong. So even thoughts can indeed be an abomination to the Lord. But gracious words are pure. Now, what do we mean by gracious words? Gracious words are words that the person does not deserve to be hearing, maybe because of what they had done something against you. And so rather than be just towards a person in the sense of giving them what they deserve, we become merciful in not giving them what they deserve and gracious in telling them something they don't deserve. And we've already mentioned what Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Those are gracious words. He's speaking about the people who put the spikes in his wrists and his feet and the spear that was going to be going into his side. Why? Because the biblical God is a gracious God. And therefore, as followers of him, if your words are gracious, then you are considered as pure. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't really give gracious words. Once more, I want to underscore that Proverbs isn't something you look at to see, how can I get better relationships with others? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll always give a soft answer, or I'll always give gracious words. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't read Proverbs to figure out how you can get better relationships and reputations with your neighbor because that's your only hope. No, this particular section is how God regards the difference between a vertical Christian and a horizontal. On tomorrow's Long Gospel, if you'll recall from last week with Wes Reimnitz, we took a look at the understanding of faith. Well, Luther also wrote a whole series of statements on a proper understanding of law. So tomorrow, I, Tom Baker, and Wes Reimnitz will be looking at those statements and be only too happy to explain how Lutherans understand law in a unique way. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.